The gospel lesson is drawn from the 6th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm interested tonight in the idea of the harvest, When we think about the harvest, we'll recognize, I think, that there's a pretty significant disconnection between Thanksgiving as it was in its first days as an American tradition and Thanksgiving as it is now, the holiday we're about to celebrate in our contemporary lives. You'll know, I imagine, that there's some debate between various localities that want to claim that they have the first American Thanksgiving. We may all think of Plymouth, but there are civic boosters up and down the East Coast who'd like to say that the first Thanksgiving was there. From St. Augustine, Florida, where in 1574 the Spanish had some first public act of Thanksgiving and the rituals of the Catholic Church, to Jamestown soon after 1607, where Anglicans gave thanks for their deliverance from the difficulties of the time. But it's in New England, in that Thanksgiving at Plymouth in 1621, that I think most of us recognize the origin of Thanksgiving as an American tradition. There they gathered, not entirely sure exactly what they did, but gathered probably with a sermon and prayers of Thanksgiving and some communal feast that was shared by all, in an event that became in later days lodged in our consciousness, in our memory, as the prototypical Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving against which all other Thanksgivings must be measured. And because it was a harvest festival for them, a day that they celebrated God delivering them from hunger and starvation through the abundant harvest of their fields, our Thanksgiving has always had that element of harvest festival in it. We celebrate in Thanksgiving still, to some degree, a successful season of growth that has yielded some abundance. So there are images of Thanksgiving that are on greeting cards and the centers of our dining room tables this time of year. Gourds and pumpkins, cornucopia arrangements, and sheaves of wheat mark the harvest festival. For those Pilgrim mothers and fathers in 1621 in New England, their celebration of the abundant harvest was very deeply felt, because the possibility of starvation was to them a very real thing. They had reason to worry about what they would eat in the harsh climate in which they lived. The snow would fall early in the fall, and it might not be gone before spring warmed the earth. They wouldn't have collard greens and other good things that one might grow in more gentle regions of the United States in later days. So when their summer crops produced in abundance, they knew they'd make it through the winter. They knew they'd live to plant another spring crop, and their thanksgiving was deeply felt and most authentic and sincere. They had much to thank the Lord for that first Thanksgiving. They thanked the Lord for that harvest, and we still sing it, I think, in the great hymns that are our tradition. Hymns like, "Come, Ye Thankful People, Come." Raise the song of harvest home. All is gathered safely in, ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Raise the song of harvest home. At our church, we would sing, "We plow the fields and scatter." It may not be as widely known. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, the soft, refreshing rain. Beautiful images of the harvest are all around us in Thanksgiving. And yet I would imagine we've all noticed that our lives are considerably different from the images of this feast day. I think it's true that most of us will have no trouble feeding ourselves in the winter months that are ahead. In fact, if we're not careful, between now and the end of the year, we will feed ourselves entirely too much, beginning tomorrow. Our town is full of restaurants, better ones opening all the time. If we get that Publix that many of us are dreaming about, we'll eat all the more. For many of us, it's been a long time since our family was on the farm. And our family, it's my grandparents' generation that last were raised up there, but they moved to town by the time they were young adults, leaving behind an enterprise that would no longer work for them and doing their work in other ways. I bet it was that way for many of you and your families too. There are farms not far from where we are this night, farms in Greenwood County to be sure, but most of them are devoted to cattle, even more to pine trees, things that are harvested but not in the same way that grain is harvested in that reliable way early in the fall or late in the summer. And the pine trees that most of our farmers grow these days, of course, are not very good eating. So our Greenwood County farmers, and certainly our bankers and lawyers and teachers and retail workers, just don't bring in the sheaves in October as we used to. And we have to give thanks then in a different way than our ancestors did. We give thanks for God blessing our endeavor as they gave thanks for God blessing their endeavor with sunshine and rain and seasonable weather. But the harvest must mean something different for us in this different world in which we live. How do we still claim that beautiful biblical imagery of the harvest for ourselves? A lot of us, I think, still get a harvest, but it's a harvest of a different sort. It's not bushel baskets full of beans or sheaves of wheat or sides of beef, but I think the harvest in my life is a paycheck that I receive once a month. And I think that's true for lots of you as well, even if you're not receiving one right now. There was a time in memory when you did. And that small piece of paper means the same thing to us that the harvest meant for the pilgrim mothers and fathers in 1621. It's our living that God has given us until we get the next one, just as the harvest was their living that God had given them until they got the next one. The money in our paychecks is the harvest just as much as Indian corn and gourds were the pilgrims' harvest in those days. That money in our paychecks is our harvest because it is also the product of the God-given energy that we have been given, our God-given creativity, our God-given power to work and to do, all those attributes in us that are the outcome of our being made in the image of God. The money that we receive in our paychecks that we earn but that God gives us is also only possible because of God's gracious goodwill towards this world, towards all of his creatures. We give thanks this day that God blesses the human endeavor. God blesses faithful and just relationships in the workplace. God blesses our efforts to cooperate for the common good. And it's true that we still owe our harvest to God just as much as the pilgrim mothers and fathers owed theirs. Perhaps we're less subject to the rain and the wind and the things we would attribute to acts of God. But if we think deeply on the conditions of our work and of all the things that are beyond our control, we've just as much reason to thank God for the harvest of our paychecks as they did. Because this harvest of ours is God's provision for us. It's the gift that sustains us and sustains those whom we love and support in our families and in our communities in the places that God has placed us. So I think it's fitting that we thank God for our harvest, just as much as the pilgrims thanked God for theirs. Every month, thank the Lord for your paycheck. It's the Lord who's given it to you. If it's a 401k distribution or a pension check that you receive, thank the Lord for that as well. Thank the Lord for they represent the strength of back and the strength of mind which God gave you. Thank the Lord because they represent the resolve to get up early and sometimes work late, a resolve that the Lord put within you. Thank God when you receive that paycheck for stable government and for industrious neighbors and for the rule of law, for all those things that are the context for our work that make such a harvest as a paycheck a possibility at all, as much as sun and rain and the rocky soil of New England made that first Thanksgiving harvest possible. And then the pilgrims as well could give us a model for what we would do with the fruits of the harvest. We have to imagine a bit. We don't know exactly what they did in that first autumn of 1621, but we can imagine as that great crop came in, they made some plans for the future. Certainly they fed their families. Certainly they were prudent and they put aside some seed corn for the next year. They thought with a measure of just self-interest about the harvest. But they also gathered, as we do tonight, to give thanks to the Lord of the harvest for the produce of the land on which he'd put them. They gave thanks, as we are doing tonight, and then they feasted together, as you will do tomorrow. They feasted, though, suspending the lines between families, suspending old grudges and new mistrusts. They shared a wondrous meal that day, a meal that prefigured the great meal that we believe we will share, the meal spoken about in the 25th chapter of Isaiah. On this mountain, the prophet said, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. Their feasting that day was a sign of God's power in the world, a sign of God's plan to redeem the world and draw all things to himself in that great feast that awaits us at the end of time. So they celebrated together, and they also resolved, I'm sure, to make provision from the harvest for those in need. The pilgrims were Bible-believing, serious Christians, and so they knew the biblical commandments to care for the widow, to care for the orphan, the stranger, and those who were in distress. And knowing that the harvest came from God, they used that harvest to nourish those whom the Bible reveals God to have a particular concern for. Our pilgrim mothers and fathers would have taken them in against the cold and fed them out of the abundance that God had given them. And thus they used their harvest of grain, and so too we are used to call the harvest of our paychecks. Harvest also must continue to be a meaningful category for Christians in thinking about our relationship with God, because it's simply such a strong one that runs throughout the Bible. One of the great Thanksgiving hymns could help us think about that too. From Come Ye Thankful People Come is a verse that goes like this: For the Lord our God shall come, and shall take his harvest home. From his fields shall in that day all offenses be purged away. He'll give his angels charge at last, in the fire the tares, the weeds to cast, but the fruitful ears to store in his garner, his silo, evermore. We hope to use the harvest of our lives well, so that in the midst of God's sanctifying grace, we may in time become the Lord's own harvest, when he returns and draws the world to himself. While we hope to serve faithfully in this world, to cultivate faithfully, and to harvest generously, We're actually looking forward to the great day when we learn that we are, in fact, not the farmers, but we are the crops, and it is God who is cultivating us. We're looking forward to that great day when we will learn that God has tended us, that God has shaped us and prepared us to be brought into His care in the most intimate way. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God has planted the seeds of the kingdom of God in His beloved creation among us. And it is God's good will to grow those seeds into a beautiful harvest of righteousness and peace. And then we won't be talking about a harvest of wheat or a harvest of paychecks as I have tonight. Then we will be witnessing a restored creation and a restored humanity made new in the image of God. For on that great day, even you, even I, we will be the harvest, and we will declare our thanksgiving to the Lord of the harvest. Amen.